This place didn't have yards of sand littered with shiny seashells, dying to be collected. It didn't have a place to anchor an umbrella and build sandcastles, or even a rock-free zone to jump waves as they crashed onto shore. No, this place had to be hiked to. It was secluded and small and pitted with tide pools and obstacles. It smelled like fish and seaweed and salt. But this was where we came sometimes to escape everything else. I'd grabbed my notebook, along with my beach bag, as we had left the house, and I turned to a clean page and held my pencil ready now. "I'm conducting an interview," I said, perched on a rock. One of the many purple wildflowers that grew along the cliff tickled the side of my foot.
"Of who?"
"You."
"Why?"
"It's part of the rooting process. I'm going to discover your fear. If you don't know it, and I don't know it, you must have hidden it somewhere deep in your subconscious."
"Okay, hit me."
He leaned back on his palms. "What is your earliest memory?"
"Easy. 4 years old, clinging on to my uncle as he drove me on a quad. When we got back, my mom told him off."
"You obviously have strong emotions attached to this, or you wouldn't remember it. So was it fear?"
"Nope. Pure excitement."
"I could have guessed that." He laughed. I jotted a note in my book. "Okay, how about this? You find out tomorrow that you're going to die. What is the one thing you regret not doing?" He seemed to consider this for a long moment, but then said his answer like it was a throwaway one, like he'd really thought of something else, but decided to keep it to himself.
"Seeing the world, I guess. What does that have to do with fear, though?"
"I just thought that maybe fear was holding you back from doing something you really want to do."
"No, that's more about money and being underage."
I chewed on the pen cap. "Seeing the world, huh? I don't remember you ever talking about traveling."
"Like I said, it's not possible right now, so why dwell on it?"
"Okay." I tried to decide what else to ask him. "Do you have any recurring nightmares?"
"Not that I remember."
He tilted his head.
"Do you?"
"Yes."
"Really? What happens?"
"I'm at school staring at the big brick wall by the amphitheater. You know which one I'm talking about?"
"Yes, that one that everyone always tags and principal gives lectures about every year because apparently he wants it big and blank."
"Yes, that one."
"Okay, do you destroy it? Because that thing is begging to be destroyed."
"No, I paint it."
"Of course you do. How is that a nightmare? It sounds like perfection to me so far."
"Well, I paint it, and then the principal tells me to try again. It immediately turns white. I paint the same thing, and again he tells me to try again. Over and over and over." I'd analyzed this dream, and I knew it all came down to me not feeling good enough. Not good enough for Cooper, not good enough for his parents, not even good enough for my mom sometimes. And definitely not a good enough artist. It sounded overly dramatic, and that's why I wasn't going to admit to that out loud.
"Wow, that sounds awful."
I shrugged, committing to nonchalance. "It's not like I dream it every night."
"I was thinking you meant, like, monsters or demons. But when you put it that way, maybe I do have one."
"Yeah?"
"I'm standing in a windowless, door-free room, and I'm the only one there."
I wrote down his dream in my notebook. "Then what happens? Do you try to claw your way out or anything?"
"No, that's it. I wake up feeling bad."
"Scared?"
"Not really."
I sighed. "You're hopeless." He stretched up to try to peer over my notebook.
"Those are the only questions? You're done digging into my brain?"
"No, One more.
Okay.
I looked him in the eyes. What are you scared of? He laughed loud, throwing his head back. When he stopped, a smile still lingering, he said,
You thought this time I'd know?
I smiled as well, but then sighed. No, but it was worth a try. He towed my bag.
Did you bring any towels? Or treats?
Both. He held up his hands and I threw him a towel, then a granola bar. He lay back on the rock, wadding up the towel and putting it under his head.
You know, you're the only person I can sit still with.
What do you mean?
I mean, I like to be in motion. I get antsy when I'm doing nothing. But you're so good at it that I don't mind it at all.
So good at what? Doing nothing?
That came out wrong.
Did it?
I just meant being laid back. It was a compliment.
I kicked his foot. You need to work on giving compliments. He chuckled and unwrapped his granola bar.
I know.
I opened my notebook again and started sketching the flowers growing through the cracks in the rock. Why do you think that is?
Why aren't I good at giving compliments?
No. Why can't you sit still?
I can. Look at me. I'm a study in Zen.
He took a large bite of granola bar and chewed it slowly. Are you afraid to be bored? Afraid of people thinking you're boring? I pointed at him. Ooh, I got it. You're afraid to be in your own head. He pinched the bridge of his nose.
Ugh, here comes the painful rooting around in my skull part.
So, yes, then? I wasn't sure why I was so intent on finding his fear. I claimed it was for the list, and to pay him back for the terror-filled quad ride, but part of me felt like it was something beyond that.
No,
he said.
My head is the best place to be. There's a constant party up here all the time.
I continued drawing. This was a pointless exercise, only reaffirming my belief that Cooper had no fears. It was time to change the subject. How is your sister? Is she still upset about her goldfish?
No, she's trying to talk my mom into a pet bird now.
She's moving up the food chain. Nice.
Do you need her painting back so you can show Mr. Wallace?
Not yet.
You still have one more to paint?
No. Well, sort of. If I count her fish, then I finished the fifth one last night. But there's something not quite right about it. He hummed.
You're stalling.
I'm not. I have time. We were silent for a couple of beats, while Cooper finished his granola bar. Waves crashed against rocks in the distance, sending water filtering through the tide pools and closer to us. In a couple of hours, the spot where we were sitting would be underwater with high tide.
What happened with Elliot, Abby? We never talked about it.
What do you mean, what happened? We hung out at a party. Were you expecting a wedding invitation?
You didn't like him?
Who said that? My voice rose an octave, and even I could hear the defensiveness in my tone.
I can tell. I thought you said your relationship goals were that you wanted to date an artist.
How did you know he was an artist?
He told me.
When?
I don't know.
I shut my notebook and sat forward, but Cooper didn't move from his reclined position. I thought the first time you met him was at the restaurant.
It was,
he said. And the second time was at the party. I could feel frustration rising in my chest.
Yeah, but maybe I asked around.
Why?
I like to know who my friend is about to go out with.
I hit him with my towel. Don't ask around, Cooper. Not for things like this.
So why don't you like him?
He's not you, I wanted to say. I don't know. He's nice. We'll still be friends. At least I hoped we would be.
You don't need another guy friend.
I crossed my arms. I wasn't used to Cooper being so serious. We sniped at each other occasionally, but where was this coming from? Excuse me? What's that supposed to mean?
It's not supposed to mean anything but what I said.
Maybe I don't need the guy friend I already have. He scooped up a pile of sand from beside him and threw it in my direction half-heartedly. That was a toddler's response, I said, the tension dissolving a little. He smiled.
It's just that you frustrate me sometimes.
Ditto. He pulled a piece of the towel over his eyes.
Fine, I'll drop it.
I'm fine. I'm happy. I don't need a boyfriend. Maybe you always need a girl to make you feel special or whatever, but I don't, okay?
Okay, I said I'd drop it.
Good.
Good.
He took the towel off his face and sat up.
I don't always need a girl.
Okay.
I don't.
I said okay. It's just you seem to always have one.
I don't.
Maybe that's your fear.
What?
You fear being alone. Stuck in a room with no door or windows and no way out? All by yourself.
Why are you so hung up on my fears? Maybe you should analyze your own dream, Abby. Your own fears. Dig around in your brain for a while. Find out why you keep painting the same thing over and over. Find out what's holding you back.
I swallowed a surprised breath. Nothing was holding me back. I'm pretty sure I'm transparent. He scowled at me, then stood.
I should probably get home.
I stood as well. Yup, me too. 24. I paced my room when I got home, back and forth, forming a thick line in the carpet. Cooper had no idea what he was talking about. I was trying to paint better. I was trying to grow. I was trying to change. Wasn't I? The image of that brick wall and that same painting I kept painting for the principal flashed through my mind. I knew it was just a dream, but why had I painted the same thing over and over? Why did I never change it up? I was scared of change. The thought came to me like a revelation, and I knew it was true. I claimed I wanted to try to grow and change, but really, everything I did lent itself to things staying exactly the same. When confronted with change, I dug my heels in. When Grandpa mentioned a therapist for Mom, I stopped it. When Lacey tried to be my friend, I kept her at arm's length. When Cooper showed the least bit of resistance to my feelings, I shut them off. I wanted to stay in my perfect bubble, where I knew that even if everything wasn't perfect, at least it was manageable. This realization made me angry with myself. I marched to my art room. I tugged off the coverings on all my recent paintings. The sunrise, Cooper on the dunes, the stage, the tree. It was time to stop resisting change, to stop digging my heels in. Whether my paintings were ready or not, I needed to try. I'd faced fear before. It was time to do it again, regardless of the outcome. I stood at Cooper's front door and knocked. His sister answered. Hi, Amelia, I said.
Hey, he's not here.
I hadn't talked to Cooper since our fight on the beach 2 days ago. We'd get past it, I was sure, but right now wasn't about Cooper and me. That's okay. I actually came over to see if I could borrow my painting back.
You're going to show it to the art guy after all?
She asked with a big smile. Yes, actually. She clapped and bounced on the balls of her feet.
He's going to love it.
She took me by the arm and pulled me through her house. Her parents were in the kitchen, and I waved as I hurried past them. The painting was on her wall, and she jumped onto her bed and helped me take it down.
If it doesn't sell, I want it back when the show is over.
Of course. I will bring it back that night, or I'll paint you a new one. She squeezed my hand.
Good luck, Abby.
I'm gonna need it. I hoped Mr. Wallace was otherwise occupied as I carried two of the five paintings into the building. My nerves were buzzing. Last time, I'd marched in here with my portfolio so sure that if he'd just look, he'd love them. Now, I didn't know. I wasn't even sure how I felt about them. I wanted him to see all the paintings at once, so I snuck across the high-glossed tile of the museum. It felt like I was in some spy movie. I passed paintings hung on display and tried not to look at them. I was already intimidated. I didn't need to compare myself to the professionals at the moment. A couple of patrons looked at me curiously as I passed, but I had yet to see Mr. Wallace. The painting in my left hand was longer than the one in my right, and it gave me an awkward gait. I reached his door and tried the handle. It was unlocked, and when I swung the door open, it was dark. I sighed in relief and flipped on the light. It was still as messy as ever, and like I'd hoped, the stack of broken easels still lined the wall on the right. I carefully leaned my paintings against the closest wall and went to inspect the easels. I found five that, if propped just right, one against the desk, two against each other, two against the wall, would hold my paintings. Then I rushed out and retrieved the others. Sweat beaded along my lip as I finished placing them each on an easel. The tree on its large canvas was the centerpiece. I stepped back to analyze. My heart pounded hard in my chest. For a moment, I allowed myself to look at them objectively, not as their creator. And in that moment, I thought they were good. Really good. I wiped at my upper lip with the back of my hand, steeled myself, then went to find Mr. Wallace. He was talking to a woman in a pantsuit. They stood in front of an impressionist painting. Maybe now wasn't a good time. It would never be a good time. It had to be now. Now or never. He turned toward me. I gave him a slight wave. The woman moved on to another painting, and Mr. Wallace didn't follow her. He waited, so I took the 30 steps between us. "Are you busy?" I asked. He glanced at the woman.
"No, I didn't think you worked today."
"I don't."
"I need you starting Wednesday to help with prep work for the show. It's coming fast."
"I know. I'll be here Wednesday."
"Okay. Good."
He started to walk away, like that was what I'd come to say. "Wait," I called a little too loudly. "Wait," I said again, quieter. "I need to show you something."
"What is it?"
"Follow me." I led him toward his office.
"Did a mouse get in the storage room again?" he asked.
"No, no mouse." The doorknob was slippery. I wiped my palms on my jeans and took hold of it again. Then I opened the door and stepped aside, gesturing for him to go first. He did. I stood there for two beats with my eyes closed, then followed after him. He saw them right away. They were impossible to miss. He walked to each one, analyzing them, not saying a word. I had taken up post by the door, like a guard. Maybe it was so I could run at the first sign of rejection. Maybe it was to give him a moment to process alone. I swallowed hard. Then stepped forward.
"These are yours?"
Mr. Wallace asked. "Yes."
"They're interesting."
I wasn't sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing. "Yes, I've been working on emotion."
"I can see that."
I want to be in the show. I want these pieces to be in the show.
I already informed the winning applicants. We're full.
My heart dropped to my feet, and I was so tempted to flee like I had last time. I didn't. I stood my ground.
What? You said you weren't doing that for a couple more days.
I did it early.
He looked at my tree painting again.
But...
But?
Maybe, he continued. We can analyze the layout and see if we can squeeze an extra artist onto the sales floor.
Yes? Is that a yes?
What happens if you get no offers?
I'll be fine with that. I just want the opportunity.
You have a lot of drive, Abby.
Sometimes.
Okay. I want you to draw up a chart of a new layout that can include everyone and bring it in for me to approve.
I clapped my hands together once. So, that's a real yes. He smiled.
Yes.
I let out a short scream and threw my arms around him. Thank you so much.
This is not professional, Abby.
There was a smile in his voice. I dropped my arms. You're right. I gave him a handshake instead, pumping his hand way too enthusiastically. I couldn't control the adrenaline coursing through me. Thank you. I started to rush the door before he changed his mind, but then I whirled back around, remembering my paintings.
Just leave them here, he said. So you don't have to haul them back in. Stack them against the wall. Did you bring some cloths?
I did. I made quick work of the paintings, then left in a blur of happy emotions. 25. I made it to the car without falling all over myself and climbed inside. I immediately texted Cooper. He said yes. He said yes! His response came seconds later.
You ask someone to marry you?
I couldn't even conjure up a sarcastic response. I was so excited. My paintings are in the show. He said yes. All five. I guess my heart has grown to epic proportions.
It's about time he recognized your genius. I'm taking you out to celebrate. Your house in 10 minutes?
Give me 30. I need to pretend like I didn't share this with you first and tell my family. Mom! Grandpa! I burst into the house. My mom jumped to her feet, her book clattering to the floor. She stepped over it and rushed to me.
What is it? Did something happen? A car accident? An earthquake? Did you get fired?
She grabbed me by my shoulders and was examining me from head to toe. My mouth opened, then shut.
Really? Those were your first guesses? You've never come in the house like that before. It worried me.
I'm fine. Better than fine. Where is Grandpa?
Outside.
I went to the kitchen and opened the back door. Mom followed.
Come inside, Gramps. I have an announcement that supersedes the health of your vegetables.
Grandpa went straight to the kitchen sink when he walked in the door and began scrubbing his hands with soap and water.
Is everything all right?
Okay, maybe I needed to work on my tone when making announcements.
Well, there wasn't an earthquake, I said.
Am I supposed to get that reference? Is that a young person phrase for something earth-moving? Has your earth moved, Abby?
He turned off the water and dried his hands on the towel hanging on the oven. I laughed.
Yes, actually, it kind of has.
I got into the art show.
What? You did?
Mom clapped her hands and gave me a hug.
I knew you would.
I hugged her back and then turned to my grandpa. Pride shone in his eyes.
Well, of course you did, he said. Am I supposed to be surprised?
You don't have to be surprised, but you do have to be happy for me.
Done.
He gave me a bear hug. I need to go email Dad, I said, rushing to my room. I had just hit send on my email when the doorbell rang. Cooper is going to take me out to celebrate, I yelled as I ran to answer the door. Cooper was there, fresh out of the shower. His hair was wet, his eyes bright with a smile. I threw my arms around his neck in a hug. He lifted me off my feet.
Congrats.
Thanks, and thank you for doing the list with me. It had given me insight into myself that I hadn't expected. He set me down and I started to go inside when he grabbed me by the wrist. I whirled back around to face him.
I'm sorry for our stupid fight the other day.
Me too.
Can we both agree not to analyze each other's brains again?
I nodded resolutely. I'm fine with that arrangement. I pointed over my shoulder. Let me grab my shoes and we can go.
Okay. I'm going to say hi to your grandpa and mom.
Sounds good. I went to my room and he went to the living room. I heard his greeting as I searched for my flip-flops in my closet.
It's great news about Abby, he said.
Yes, we're proud. And so is her father, Mom said. My father? I just barely emailed him. Had Mom called him too? I pulled out one polka dot flip-flop, but couldn't find the other. I dug under a pile of clothes. I needed to clean my closet.
Me too,
Cooper said.
Where are you taking her?
Grandpa asked.
I don't know. Milkshakes, maybe? She likes milkshakes.
Aha, I said, as I freed my second flip-flop. I slid them onto my feet and went to join the others. Have fun, Mom said when she saw me. Did you call Dad tonight? She looked at the clock on the wall. No, it's too early there right now. I'll let him know. But you said he was proud. She smiled. Of course he's proud. He always talks about your art. Oh, she just meant in general. Thanks, Mom.
You ready?
Cooper asked. Yep, let's go. For a Sunday evening, the milkshake place was packed. We'd already been waiting in line for 10 minutes when the bell on the door rang for the millionth time and a new group of people walked in. Cooper! Cooper's smile stretched wide.
Riss, hi!
She joined us in line, leaving her other group behind. I thought you said you were busy tonight.
I am. Abby had some good news, so I had to take her to celebrate.
I tried not to smile at this statement, but I couldn't help it, and Iris noticed. What good news? She asked. Oh, it's nothing big, I said.
It's really big. She gets to have her paintings in an art show at the museum. She's the only minor in the show.
Wow, Iris said. That's great. Congratulations. Thank you. Can I join you guys? I should have said no. I wanted to say no. But how would that make me look? Like a petty best friend? Yeah, that's fine, I said, hoping Cooper would turn her away. He didn't. He put his arm around her and said,
Of course.
Maybe I was imagining it, but I could have sworn she was the one giving me a smug smile now. I turned my attention to the lit menu, even though I pretty much knew it by heart. Cooper and I had tried almost every shake combination they offered, plus some we'd made up. But looking at black words on a whiteboard was better than watching Cooper nuzzle Iris's neck. We finally made it to the front of the line, and Cooper looked at me, then nodded to the menu.
Hey, remember the time we combined the...
We are not doing that again.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't good either, I said. He laughed.
Fine. Do you want the...
No, I want the banana pie shake.
But you only like that if the bananas are the perfect amount of ripeness.
The guy behind the register raised his eyebrows when I looked at him. Are they? I asked him.
Are who what? Are the bananas perfectly ripe?
Cooper asked.
That means zero brown spots, but zero green as well.
I'll find you a perfect one,
he said. Cooper nodded.
Then we'll take one of those, and I'll have a brownie batter.
That made you sick last time, I said.
I've been conditioning my stomach.
Cooper, whose arm was still around Iris, said to her,
What would you like?
Surprise me, she said. Cooper hated that line. My smug smile was back.
Nope. Your taste buds are your own, he said.
She let out a short sigh, then asked the worker, What's your favorite?
I don't know. I like the cheesecake shake.
Okay, I'll try that one. He rang us up, and we went to look for a table. All the ones inside were taken, so we were forced outside to the circular metal ones while we waited for our shakes to be made. Iris slid her chair as close as possible to Cooper, and he put his arm around her. Really? This was my celebration, but suddenly it felt more like I was the third wheel on one of their dates. I tried not to let it dampen my spirits. If Iris was going to be around more, I needed to make a better effort to get to know her. What do you like to do? I asked. I like to bake. Bake? Like food?
No, like kittens,
Cooper said, kicking my foot under the table.
Of course food, Abby.
I scrunched my nose at him. Iris put one hand to her chest. My dream would be to own my own bakery one day. That's cool. Unlimited sugary treats is my dream, too. She seemed to think I was mocking her, or maybe not taking her seriously enough, because she said, It's not all about the food. I'll need to figure out how to run a business, too.
Abby wants to see her paintings in museums around the world one day,
Cooper said. I said, Speaking of museums, you can pick my mom up for the show on the 21st, right? I'll have the car, plus it will help get her out the door.
Of course.
But don't come right away. It will be too crowded. Maybe like 8?
Sounds good.
Why does he have to pick your mom up? Iris asked.
Because she hates to drive,
Cooper said, without missing a beat. And it was true. Among many other things. She did hate to drive. Our order number was called, and Cooper left to collect our shakes. I smiled at Iris and started to ask her what her favorite thing to bake was, when she stopped me with, I like Cooper. I know, I said. And you need to stop trying to sabotage our relationship. What? I haven't been. It's obvious you wish I wasn't around. But it's you who needs to step back and let him have a girlfriend. You scare away anyone he wants to be with. How would she even know that? Had she been talking to Cooper's past girlfriends? And here I thought I was trying to be nice. We both know that's not true. It's obvious you're jealous. I raised my eyebrows. Wow. Okay. I'll tell you right now that getting on my bad side isn't a smart move. She brought her smirk back out. Ditto. Cooper pushed the door open with his foot and came out carrying all three shakes. Iris's face transformed back to sweet innocence. Mine did not. I collected my shake and stood. This was my celebration she had butted her way into, not the other way around. Cooper, can we leave?
Please don't fail me now, Cooper.
What?
He had just sat down and taken a long drink. He looked between Iris and me. She gave him a pouty lip. Don't leave me here.
Where are we going?
He asked.
Can Iris come?
I'd never done this to Cooper before, but I needed this right now. Can it be just the two of us this time? Cooper stood.
You came with friends, right?
He asked Iris.
They can take you home?
She waved her hand through the air like it was no big deal. Yes, of course. Have fun.
I'll see you sometime this week?
He asked her. She nodded.
Thanks, I said, hooked my arm in Cooper's, and led us back to his car. So relieved that he came with me that I almost broke down in tears. He came with me. He chose me over her.
What was that about?
He asked. Your girlfriend hates me.
Girlfriend? I've only been on a few dates with her. Don't tie me down yet.
They weren't girlfriend-boyfriend yet? Interesting. Well, either way, she hates me.
She does not. I think she's just intimidated by our friendship. She'll be better once Justin and Rachel are back.
She told me to back off. He laughed, like this was something to laugh about.
That's so cute.
It didn't feel cute. It felt threatening, like she was going to try to tear us apart.
You probably misunderstood her.
I didn't, but whatever. Let's not talk about it.
Let's go make a sandcastle on the beach.
It's too dark.
I have two flashlights in the car.
Okay, let's go.
How come your castle looks so professional and mine looks like a shoddy contractor built it?
Cooper asked as I used a small stick I'd found to carve windows. I can't help it that I'm awesome. Cooper's foot shot out and collapsed the right tower of my castle. I gasped. You did not just do that. He was on his knees leaning over his castle, so I jumped up and landed right on top of it, the damp sand squishing between my toes. Cooper grabbed me around the legs, causing me to collapse onto his shoulder. He picked me up and spun me around. I pounded on his back, but couldn't stop laughing. All the blood is going to my head. Let me down. He did, but I was dizzy, so I fell to my hands and knees and then flung myself onto my back. I'd need a shower after this to get rid of all the sand that was now in my hair. Cooper, who stood over me, poked my ribs with his foot.
I'm proud of you, Abby.
For what? My amazing sandcastle building skills?
You know what for. You worked hard. You put yourself out there. You deserve it.
He held his hand out for me, and I let him help me to my feet, where he pulled me into a hug. We stood like that, staring out at the waves rolling in, for several long, perfect moments. Thank you, I said. And in that moment, I knew I had to try. I had to put myself out there in another way, too. Maybe it would change everything. Maybe, like I knew I'd feared all along, I'd lose him as a friend, and nobody would speak to me again, and I'd be alone. Or maybe, just maybe, things would change for the better. That night, still high from my time with Cooper, I texted Lacey. You're right. Things do change. I'm ready to try with Cooper. Will you help me figure out a plan? She texted back right away.
Absolutely.
26. The next week passed by quickly in a flurry of gallery showrooms to lay out and invitations to send. I'd seen Cooper for a couple of hours here and there, but without the list directing our every move, we were back to our normal routine of lazy beach days and Friday night movies and milkshakes on the pier. Lacey had told me to hold off on any admissions while we concocted a brilliant plan. Now, with only a week left until the showcase, I sat on the floor of Lacey's bedroom, scheming. She held a notepad in her hand.
This is like a play I once saw, she said.
I sat next to her, staring at the blank page, feeling like it represented exactly how I felt. I had no idea how I was going to win Cooper over. It wasn't like I was going into this with no history. Would he still react the same way? It didn't matter. I had changed. I wasn't going to run away from something because I was worried it would make things different any longer. A play you once saw? I asked.
Yes, it was about a girl and a clueless guy.
And did it end well?
Let's not talk about the play. This is real life.
So it didn't end well?
I asked, widening my eyes.
She waved her hand through the air.
Oh, you know, typical dramatic ending. Death, destruction, heartbreak.
But anyway, the point is that she had to show her clueless boy what he was missing.
I decided to ignore her horrible comparison and asked, how do I do that?
First, you have to make him miss it.
Huh?
Today is Monday. The art show is Sunday. That is 6 days from now.
Yes.
You can't see Cooper until the art show.
Why not?
I couldn't remember the last time I'd gone that many days without seeing Cooper.
A boy has to miss that which he doesn't know he desires before he realizes he desires it.
Sounds completely logical.
I was going to say, sounds like a lot of head games.
Cooper needs a few head games, obviously.
You tried the straightforward approach. Time to try something else.
Okay, so no seeing him for 6 days.
That was going to be hard. Cooper just showed up at my house all the time. How was I going to avoid him?
Text him now. Tell him you'll be setting up at the museum all week.
I will be setting up at the museum all week, starting tomorrow.
There you go. No head games involved then.
He'll stop by the museum. He'll bring me cheesecake or something.
Why will he do that?
Because he does that sometimes. We're friends.
She growled.
Then you'll have to keep a lookout for him and hide if you see him.
This sounds complicated, I said. I didn't like complicated.
Love is complicated.
That should be on a t-shirt.
It probably already is. I smiled and looked back at her notepad. She hadn't written any of the plans we'd discussed. She'd just drawn two stick figures holding hands with a heart between them.
Which one am I? I asked.
The shorter one, obviously.
She added a dress onto the stick figure's body.
You need a new dress. A perfect dress. Something that will make him see you as a woman and not a girl.
I tried not to laugh because I knew she was being serious.
That sounds like a line from a play.
But it's a true line, nonetheless.
Let's go shopping this week.
When do you get off every day?
Probably around 7-ish.
Okay, we'll go tomorrow. That way I can be sure you're not sneaking to see your addiction.
I'm not addicted.
One time I tried to give up caffeine, she said, ignoring my statement. I got a headache.
I wonder if you're going to get a headache this week.
Lacey may have been new in my life, but now I knew she was teasing me. I took the notepad from her and added a few embellishments to the dress she'd sketched. Some small flowers along the neckline, pleats below the waistline, and pockets. I loved a dress with pockets.
When you can make a stick figure's dress look nicer than anything I own, you're a true artist.
I handed her back the notepad and she studied the dress.
No flowers, she said.
We're ditching the girl and embracing the woman, remember?
But I like the rest.
And it needs to be red.
Red?
I was thinking black.
Trust me on this one. You are wearing red.
Okay, so he sees me at the art show in my new red dress that makes me look more woman than girl, and then what?
Then you tell him how you feel, and you kiss him. You won't be able to joke your way out of that.
You want me to kiss him right in the middle of the art show surrounded by people?
No, you don't want an audience when you kiss him for the first time. It needs to be a life-changing kiss. A kiss that turns stubborn hearts.
But no pressure, I mumbled.
Wait, this isn't your first kiss in general, is it?
No, I've kissed a few guys. Not any in the last year, but enough before a year ago that I wasn't worried about my ability.
Good.
So is there a close place you can pull him away to? A quiet, romantic place, preferably? The broom closet? She was adding more details to her drawing.
Not a broom closet.
I was kidding. She looked up to see my expression.
Right. I always forget how sarcastic you are.
It's a gift.
You have a different place in mind, then?
I had a different place in mind. The sitting area overlooking the ocean. It was closed in by trees and shrubbery, and as long as it wasn't occupied by other guests, it would be an amazing spot for a first kiss. I have the place.
Then the rest should be easy.
I let out a single forced breath. So easy.
He'll be in love with me before the night is over.
Plus, you'll have sold all 5 of your paintings that night.
It will really just be the best night of your entire life.
This is starting to sound more and more like a play.
Exactly.
She held up her finished drawing, like this summarized everything we talked about. And for some reason, it felt like it did. I smiled, a surge of confidence jolting through me. Cooper and I were going to be together. It was fate. 27. I was tired. I'd spent the last 4 days at the museum with inventory and clearing and sorting art and everything else we had to do to prepare for the show. And I'd spent every night with Lacey going over our game plan. She'd taken me to pick the perfect dress. Red, sleeveless, just above my knee, high waistline, with pleats and pockets. And we'd researched hairstyles. And most importantly, I hadn't seen Cooper since Lacey and I had come up with the plan. I had a headache, but I was pretty sure it was from worry and not from my detox. It was Friday night. The show was in 2 days. We were in Lacey's room going over the final details of how Sunday would play out. I was sitting on her bed, which had more pillows than existed in my entire house. She was surveying a shoe rack that took up one entire wall of her walk-in closet.
What size shoe do you wear?
8. She pursed her lips. You think you can squeeze into a 7.5 for the night? Because these are perfect. She held up the shoes in her right hand. They were black peep-toe heels with red bottoms. I'll be on my feet for at least 4 hours.
So that's a no?
That's a big no.
Fine, but you need to pick out cute heels. None of your comfy flats.
Okay. I'll go tomorrow.
Good. I wish I could go with you. I wish I could see this all play out.
Maybe I should skip my latest LA audition.
You're kidding, right? You should not skip the audition. You need to go, and you need to get that part like I know you are capable of doing.
She gave me a salute.
Yes, ma'am.
I smiled.
You're good at giving pep talks, not so good at taking them.
Hey, I'm about to kiss Cooper, my best friend in the whole world, Wells, on Sunday. Pretty sure I've taken an innocent pep talk to the extreme.
Well, I wouldn't call my scheming an innocent pep talk, but I know what you're saying. And you will be great. I know you can do it, even if I can't be there.
I can. I will. I put my fist half-heartedly in the air. Ouch! My shoulder is sore.
From what?
We've been moving a lot of paintings around at the museum. She tapped her lips with her fingers.
I've been thinking, is it too late to paint a special painting for Cooper? Something that would mean something to him that you could include in your display?
The show is in 2 days.
So that's a no?
I laughed. Do you normally say things and people just make them happen? She looked up and thought.
Not all the time,
but enough to spoil me. We're good for each other, I think. You bring me down to earth, and I make you dream big.
Maybe she was right, because she did have me dreaming big. She had me thinking that in 2 nights, I could make Cooper mine. I actually already have a painting for him. I revamped a painting of him on his quad. I haven't shown him the new version yet. I think he'll love it. I was going to gift it to him after the show if it didn't sell.
Perfect. Look at that. I said something, and it happened.
I picked up one of her 100 pillows and threw it at her. She caught it and twirled around like it was her new dance partner. Then she plopped it on the floor and sat on top of it.
So, what are you going to do about his girlfriend? If she shows up to the museum with him, I mean.
My smile melted off my face. They're not together, I said, repeating what he told me. They've only been out a few times. I don't think he'll bring her.
Okay, but if he does, you must steal him away from her to your secret location.
That will be awkward.
Remember, Cooper should have been yours a year ago. She is stealing him away from you. Think about the first time she met him. He was with you, and she didn't have any problem flirting with him.
True.
Say it like you believe it.
True. A knock sounded at Lacey's closed door.
Come in,
she called. Her dad poked his head in.
Hello, Bill,
Lacey said.
Hey, your mother and I are going to run to the store. Your brother and sister are watching television. Can you just keep an ear out for them?
Yes, I can.
Thanks.
He left, leaving the door open this time. You call him Bill? Is that an I treat my dad like my peer thing, or is that a my dad and I are distant and therefore I must call him by his first name thing?
That's a he's my stepdad thing.
Oh, that makes sense. Not sure why I didn't think of that one first. She laughed. Is that why your brother and sister are so much younger than you?
Yep, half-siblings.
Got it. And you're not stepdad?
You mean my actual dad?
Yes. She threw the pillow back at me and I caught it.
He's around. Since I'm 17 now, I kind of get to pick when I see him. It used to be they had 50-50 custody. But it's so hard to pack up my life for half a week. So now we mostly do meals together once a week. Or I'll stay with him for 3 weeks here and there.
Does he live close?
About an hour. And he's not super enthusiastic about my career choice.
Acting? Why?
He thinks I'm too young. Wants me to grow up a little first.
But your mom is fine with it?
Very. The consummate stage mom. And it's what I love to do, so I'm glad at least one of them has supported me. It's hard to be taken seriously as an artist. You know.
I do. I'm lucky neither of my parents have given me grief about art.
You are.
My phone buzzed in my pocket and I freed it. It was a text from Cooper.
I'm sick. Come take care of me.
I held up my phone for Lacey to see.
Tell him no. You've lasted 4 days. He's going to ruin our plans. No seeing him until Sunday.
I texted back. I'm sure your mom is doing a perfect job of taking care of you.
Parents are out of town.
Can't Iris take care of you?
I'm on death's door. Please.
Gah! I grunted in frustration. He said he's on death's door.
Abby,
she said in a warning tone. I know, but what if he's really sick and all alone?
He has Iris, remember?
That will just further their relationship if she's there to take care of him while he's sick. The fact that he's texting me says a lot, right?
It does. It says our plan is going to work.
So I'll just go check on him.
Lacey leveled me with a cold stare.
You're going to go no matter what I say, aren't you?
He's my friend.
I know. Get out of here. Hopefully he's incoherent and our plan will still work.
I smiled. Thanks for everything. She hugged me.
Text me Sunday night with a detailed report.
I will.
She swiped up the heels she'd dropped at the foot of her bed. Take these just in case you can't find any. Sacrifice is the start of any great relationship.
She smiled.
Yes, you can put that on a t-shirt.
I took the shoes and ran out of the house. My heart was pounding. I'd let Cooper talk me into coming over so easily because I missed him. 28. Amelia let me in when I got to Cooper's house.
Where is he?
She pointed to the hall. I dropped my bag by the front door and made my way to his room. I knocked softly on his door.
Hey, it's me.
He just groaned.
You were well enough to text 10 minutes ago. Have you deteriorated that much since then?
I walked into his room. The only light came from a small desk lamp, so it took my eyes a bit to adjust. He lay on his bed, his breathing labored. I put my hand on his forehead. It was burning up.
Wait, you're really sick?
I had kind of thought he might be faking it a little, or overplaying it to get me over.
You have a bad fever. Have you taken any medicine for this?
I don't know.
What do you mean, you don't know?
Maybe.
His lips were dry and cracked, and his words came out as a whisper.
How long have you been like this? For longer than today?
What?
I'll be right back. I searched for his sister and found her eating ice cream in front of the television.
Has Cooper taken anything for his fever?
No. He got home about 3 hours ago and went straight to his room. I tried to wake him up to ask him if Mom left us any money for dinner, but he told me he was sleeping.
So this just started today?
I think.
Okay. I have money if you want to order a pizza or something.
Thanks.
She ran to the phone and I went to the medicine cupboard. I found a bottle of NyQuil. I also wet a rag. With my offerings in hand, I went back to his room.
Hey, sickie.
Sit up for a sec. I need you to take some medicine.
Abby?
Yes?
What are you doing here?
You texted me. Now come on, sit up. I helped him sit up. He took the medicine and lay back down on his side. I placed the wet wash rag on the back of his neck, where he felt the hottest.
How did this happen?
Dunno,
he mumbled.
If I make you some soup, will you eat it?
Not hungry.
What do you need? I flipped the rag to the other side.
Just stay with me.
Okay, I can do that. But if you get me sick, I won't be happy. I have a big show in 2 days. He smiled a little, and I crawled into bed next to him, sitting against the headboard instead of lying down. His arm immediately went over my lap, and his forehead found my hip. I could feel the heat radiating off him. I hoped the medicine helped soon, because I didn't like seeing him like this. I moved the rag from his neck to his temple and lightly ran it along his face.
You've been gone this week,
he said.
Just busy.
It's annoying.
I smiled and pushed his hair off his forehead.
I'm cold,
he said with a shiver. You're actually very hot.
I know.
One side of his mouth attempted a smile.
Wow, even incoherent, you can still pull out the jokes.
He let out what he probably thought was a small laugh, but was really more of a moan. The cloth was now warm, and I moved to stand up so I could re-wet it. But his grip around me tightened.